cross on the first. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his glory shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. For to the mighty conflict, in this his glorious day, he let our men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Courage lies with danger, and strength to strength the blows. Stand up, stand up.
Amen. Brother Scott London, would you open us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we're going to have a special by the mixed ensemble.
Established his church so the gospel of Christ might be proclaimed.
He promised power from on high to guide and keep his church alive for the task of bringing others to him. From the cross church to the world, there is no other way to reach the dying every day than from the cross through the church to the world. To this world dark with sin, God is calling some men full of Christ to every land. At the cross the price was paid, to the church the plan he gave, so
God is real. You will never ever believe what the message is on this morning. We did not coordinate this. A missions-minded church. God cares. God cares about each one of us, each one of you. He cares about each individual across this world. If you're visiting this morning, we're so glad you're here. This is a great church. This church stands on the Word of God. It doesn't matter, like I mentioned in Sunday school, it doesn't matter what we necessarily what we believe. It matters what the Bible says. And this church endeavors to teach the Word of God, pure and unadulterated, as the true as the truth. We have some announcements this morning. Tonight is the ice cream social. And we're going to... Now, I don't know exactly what it's going to involve, but I know there's going to be ice cream. I know there's going to be different kinds of soft drinks and pop and that. But I don't know exactly... What we'll do is we'll be here and we'll sing a song or two and we'll have announcements because I know everybody loves announcements. How many like announcements? Yeah, good deal. That makes me feel better anyway. And then what we'll do is we'll have take an offering. How many people like take? No. and then we will go to the other building and we will see what the missions has and we'll have our floats. All kinds. We got root beer floats. We got grape floats. We got orange floats. We got Coke floats. We got all kinds of floats over. We got floats with no pop, if you want floats with no pop. So, anyways, invite everybody to come. Now, the craft night here is the third Thursday night. It's not this Thursday night. I will spare you the boredom of what happens on Publisher. And as far as being able to save it, it doesn't matter. That's not right there. It's not this Thursday night. It's the third Thursday night of every month. So, we got Sunday nights, except for the Sunday night, study of Proverbs. Wednesday nights, the five crowns. And then we're going to go through the seven churches of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. And then... missionaries we're praying for specifically, Brother Scott Poling in Germany and Benjamin Park in South Korea. In this, now this is, remember, this is missions month. And so the messages are geared toward missions. And we support 36 missionaries and mission works across this world. We support and in this country and in this state even. And those 36 works, we support at $210 a month. And so that's this yellow thing, Faith Promise Missions. At the back page, Liberty Baptist Church promised $98,000, and God has allowed us to meet that budget so far. If you're here as a visitor, please don't. I know there's a lot of preaching on money and things like that in a different sense. All this is gives this church an opportunity to break our hearts for the lost souls of this world. And we want to do something. We want to see the gospel spread because we care about people and we care about what God cares about. God came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why Jesus Christ came and left his throne in heaven and come to earth as a man born in a manger and then died as a man on a cross for the sins of the world for each individual. And he loved souls. He wept over souls that did not know Christ as Savior. He wept for the multitudes that were as sheep without a shepherd. And I beg Liberty Baptist Church that we do the same. We realize that there's a world out there running to and fro as sheep without a shepherd, as people who don't know that there's an eternal life to be gained in heaven, an eternity with the God of Creator of heaven and earth. And so our prayer is at Liberty Baptist Church that God breaks our hearts. And then our promise, our pledge will follow, and March 4th we'll take our pledge cards and we'll pledge for our, so we can have a budget next year to send to the missions. Anyway, I'd like to thank everyone here once again for being here. We're looking forward to a great day, and thank you, Mixed Ensemble, for that great song. Glorifying God. Appreciate it.
All right, please join me in stand once again. Grab a hymnal, turn to page 124. 124, are you washed in the blood? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Now we'll sing that second verse. When you reach the chorus, greet your neighbor with a handshake. On the second, are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Thank you. place, would you join me again on the last verse of page 124? Are you washed in the blood on the last?
Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood and the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. All right. Brother Timer, would you ask a blessing on our offering? Amen. God bless you this morning. This time we're going to have a special by the ladies trio.
Give to him your all. He longs to see your life. How about that? Yeah. All righty. Well, this morning, last week we went through the missions-minded disciple, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. But this week we're in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, last week it says, whosoever, missions-minded disciple, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. We went through the word confessing and how the giving to missions is part of confessing Christ before men. If we're a saved child of God, a disciple of Christ, the Holy Spirit resides in us, then we'll yield unto the Holy Spirit and we'll sacrifice for the cause of Christ and for because we have compassion for others. Today we're looking at the missions-minded church in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It says here to exhort in verse 25. In other words, to call, to beg, to beseech. As you see the day approaching, and the day approaching is a period of time when something remarkable will happen. The author of Hebrews is saying, hey, there's a time coming soon that's going to be remarkable. That's going to be something that people are going to talk about. An event which was anticipated. And the author wrote it here, is it soon going to occur? Whether it be Jerusalem destroyed in 70 AD, whether it be the rapture means the catching away of the believers, our bodies will be resurrected and our souls will meet our bodies in the air and we'll be forever with the Lord. Or maybe this day approaching is equating to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes down from heaven with his armies to set up his millennial kingdom. Nonetheless, we know that there is a day approaching. We know that there is going to be something remarkable to happen. I believe that this is speaking of the second coming of Jesus Christ. However, we can apply it to different things today as a church. We're going to apply it to missions. How can we apply this to our lives? And how can we apply this verse, these verses, to missions? Exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Can I say this? We know this, that day is approaching. And we need to do everything we can as individuals, as a church, to finish the work that God give us, to be faithful with what He's given us, and to reach others for the cause of Jesus Christ. There is no higher cause than to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll look at these verses this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that this message be a blessing. I pray that we take it to heart. I also pray for Adriana, Lord. And with her job and what's going on there, I pray that you be with her and give her the wherewithal to do a good job. Let things work out there. Dear God, we thank you for saving our souls. I pray, Lord, that you speak to each and every one of us. those who do not know that heaven is their home, I pray that you be able to speak to them. Oh Lord, we can never be thankful enough for what you've done for us on the cross. But we do thank you today for dying for us, for shedding your blood for us, for rising again in fulfillment of the scriptures, and preparing a home in heaven for us right now. I thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we see the day approaching, we've already established there is a day approaching. And as we see the day of approaching as a church, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart, with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near with full assurance. Let us get the full grasp of what's going on with a pure conscience. That's how we think. It says here, the pure, a true heart with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. He wants us to have a pure conscience as a church, as individuals. An evil thing is something that's hurtful. A conscience is awareness. And it says here, sprinkled. It's referring to those things in the Old Testament. Remember the red heifer in the book of Numbers, where they took the red heifer and burnt the red heifer and took the ashes and ground it and put it in water. And when something needed to be purified, they sprinkled that water. Oh, well, how can some ashes purify someone? You know, I don't know, but God said it happened. And that's what God told the Israeli people to do when somebody was defiled, was to sprinkle the ashes of a red heifer that they might be pure. And so the author here of Hebrews says, let us draw near in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. You know, we do so many things throughout the day, it seems hardly possible that we could have a pure conscience. But with the power of God in our lives, renewing our minds continually, cleansing our sins continually, we can have that pure conscience only through Jesus Christ. We have a clear conscience if our body, look at this one, verse 22, and our bodies washed with pure water. This lends itself to the Old Testament during the temple worship, when all those instruments, when those parts of animals had to be washed before they were sacrificed, or those things had to be washed before they were involved with service. This is speaking to our flesh. Our bodies washed with pure water, that we be blameless before others. How many? It's easy to read the Word of God. It's a little more difficult to understand the Word. But my goodness, we can have a PhD times six times over in theology. And you know what the hardest thing about the Word of God is? Is obeying the Word of God. But God wants us to live a life that's pleasing to Him. God wants us a life that's blameless in the eyes of others, that others cannot criticize our Christian life. We need not live as a hypocrite. You can't fool kids or dogs. They know. As we see the day approaching, let us draw near with full assurance, with a pure conscience, and with our bodies washed with pure water. Not succumbing to the flesh and the desires of the flesh, but succumbing and yielding to the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Succumb and yield to the conviction that He has in our lives, that we might live a life pleasing to God. Hey, and that we might live a life that's a whole lot easier. God doesn't want us to have a difficult life. He wants us to have a good life, an easy life. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. He don't want us to live that kind of life for our own good. As we see the day of approaching, let's look at verse 23 here, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. The profession. The profession. The speaking. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. You know, a lot of times you run across people who don't want a thing to do with Christianity because they've seen Christians. Because talk is cheap. The author here says, as we see that day of approaching, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. We got to have something that backs up our profession. We got to have something that backs up what we say. It's like the gold-backed dollar. It used to be worth 30 ounce of gold was 35, valued at $35. That was the conventional exchange. Did a little research, according to the Bretton Woods, a bunch of international leaders, including the United States, met in Bretton Woods, New Jersey, and came up in the 1920s, 1930, it was somewhere back then, with the Bretton Woods Agreement that a dollar was backed by, an ounce of gold was backed by 35 U.S. dollars. And in 1971, we went off the gold-backed dollar, and we allowed the dollar to float. In other words, our dollar's not worth very much now. Our dollar's worth, an ounce of gold is worth about $1,328 or $1,330. It's gone between $28 and $50 here the last couple weeks. It's allowed the dollar to float as far as the value of gold, but you know what? It's cheapened our dollar. When we didn't have something to back up our dollar, it's cheapened our dollar. And you see, when we don't have something to back up our profession, it cheapens our profession. As we see that day of approaching, we're to hold fast, grab hold of it, keep it. Our profession of faith. When we cheapen our profession, we put a black eye on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we cheapen our profession, it only affects me. No, it doesn't just affect me. It affects everyone around me. Christianity is about others. It's not about me. And we're to hold fast the profession of our faith because of others. And because we honor and we hold Jesus Christ in high regard, if we're not holding fast that profession of faith, that shows us where we are spiritually. It might be that we do not care. That's a sad state of affairs. The most miserable place for anyone in the world is for a Christian to be out of the will of God. We can bring our Bibles through those doors. We can read our Bibles. We can look like the quintessential Christian. But when we lay our head on the pillow at night, when we're driving in our car, we are men most miserable because we know that we're out of the will of God. We can look back to a time when the best times in our life was when we were serving God. The best time of our life was when we were obeying God and when we were sharing the gospel with others, when we weren't afraid to hand out a gospel tract, but now we're afraid to hand out a gospel tract to the neighbor next door because I've cheapened my profession of faith. Oh, would to God we'd repent this morning. Ask God to forgive us. Give us a new lease on life regarding our spiritual walk. He'll forgive you. He promises. He's just and faithful to forgive us of our sins if we confess our sins before Him. But as we see the day approaching, we're to hold fast to the profession of our faith. As we see that day approaching, verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, Consider means to discover, to observe. It's hard to consider and discover and observe others. When we're trying to get the sound system out. No, it's hard to discover and observe others and be interested in others when we're more interested in ourselves and we're taking selfies and we're self-absorbed and we're selfish. But as we see the day of approaching, we should be concerned about others. What is Christianity about? Christianity is about others. Why did Jesus Christ come to die? He died for others. Why was He resurrected? He was resurrected for others, the power of God. And as we see this day approaching, our lives should be about others. And provoke one another. Provoke means to call into action or incite. Now, usually when we hear the word incite, it's in a negative connotation about inciting a riot. But can you imagine this, provoking one another to incite or encourage love and good works toward others, to comfort that we care about one another and we bear another's burdens in the church. Pray for one another. It says here in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves. As spiritual declination, or as our spirituality declines, or our spiritual awareness declines, as our spiritual fellowship with Jesus Christ decays, it's easy not to assemble with other believers. It's not old. It's just not here in the 21st century. This decline to assemble with others happened then. Otherwise, the writer would not have been writing about it in the first century. One of the first things to fade away as our spirituality and our walk with Christ decays is faithfulness. Research and studies are showing that most Americans are interested in spirituality. This is a good one. But less interested in organized religion. This trend is especially true for millennials. Millennials are those born between 1982 and 2002. Right now, they're between 16 and 36 years old. For those of you who have kids, this is very important. For those of us who have friends that have kids, neighbors, nieces, nephews, this is very important. According to a report from Market Watch, this is not even a Christian or one promoting Christianity or you see what I'm saying? It's unbiased spiritual-wise. This is from Market Watch. Interest in spirituality, astrology, and witchcraft is soaring amongst millennials. One study has even shown that over half of young adults in the U.S. believe astrology is a science. The psychic services industry, which involves things such as tarot card reading, palm reading, mediums, and astrology, has grown by in the 4 years to be a $2 billion industry. Maybe it's because we as adults have cheapened our profession. Remember, you can't fool kids. They know. Maybe deep down inside, we know we're saved, but it's just not that important to us anymore. It's not a priority to us anymore. What others are, it's important, Christianity is about others once again, I'm repeating myself, but what do others see, what do the younger generation see in us? They see that Christ is no longer important in our lives. They might even think it's a joke. Oh my goodness, we've got to stay faithful. We've got to exhort one another to good works and provoke one another. We can't forsake the assembling of ourselves because it shows others, if we don't, that we do not care about the things of the Lord. And it's not real, and people are looking for things real. Kids want something real. Kids want something stable. We got a job to do, and that's to be faithful. How hard is it to be faithful to the Creator who loved us? I wish I could say, oh, it's not hard at all. But we, every one of us know that it's not that easy. It's a daily struggle. We could ask the Lord every day to help us. Because this flesh gets in the way. And this flesh wants to sin. And this flesh wants to rebel. It's a struggle. As we see the day approaching, let us draw near. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Let us consider one another, provoking one another, and not forsaking the assembly of yourselves. That's as we see the day approaching. Where are we now? Right now, we are in the last days. This present age is the latter times. It's the period between the two advents, the two arrivals or comings of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came first in a manger in Bethlehem around 2,000 years ago. Hey, and Jesus Christ is coming again in fulfillment of the Scriptures. And between those two periods is the latter times. And in the latter times, there are going to be people falling away from the faith. In the latter times, there's going to be what's right will be wrong, what's wrong will be right. In the latter times, there's going to be seducing spirits, seducing devils. There's going to be people, lovers of themselves, who love pleasures, teaching false doctrine. We're here now. There's an ice cream deal called Jesus, well, it doesn't matter, in Toronto, I guess. Absolutely blasphemous. Different flavors of ice cream, such as the Last Supper, and they got crosses upside down, and all. It's just terrible. We're here. And the next event on the calendar of God is the rapture. God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. But it's God's will, the Bible says, that all men be saved. What does that mean? Saved means delivered. Delivered from wrath. You see, the Bible says we've all sinned. We can leave and look back this morning or yesterday or last week, and we can say, even if I don't know anything about the Bible, I know what I was taught as a kid, and I've certainly broken the rules that my parents taught me. But you know what? God is righteous, and God is holy, and God has given instructions, and the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so if we've all sinned, and it's God's desire that none of us go to hell in God's wrath because of our sin. He loves us so much, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. How many can say, without closing our eyes or bowing our heads, can say, I'm so glad that Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I'm glad He's willing that I should not perish. I'm glad that He loves me. I'm glad He's coming back. I'm so glad. And He's so patient. And God sent His Son to die. Jesus Christ never sinned. He died on the cruel cross for each and every one of us. And it's God's desire that if you do not know heaven is your home this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's God's desire that you'll know this morning. There'll be an invitation at the end. You can know with certainty that heaven is your home. You can say, wow, God's good. He loves me. You'll have that burden of sin lifted forever. Forever. It's not because Liberty Baptist teaches that you can have salvation or be saved, delivered from the wrath of God through faith. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. It's not by going to Liberty Baptist Church. It's because it's what God says. For by grace you're saved through faith and not of yourselves. You'll never have to step foot in a church again. You'll never have to tithe. You don't have to do any of those things to get saved. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. The Bible says we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. We're living in the last days. Despisers of good, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, MSNBC host Joy Reid, after the State of the Union speech, said, American institutions like church, police, the military, and national anthem are all from a bygone era that should be forgotten. But that's the mentality of the latter days. We're becoming more and more in the less of the majority and more in the minority. The spiritual aspect, we're living in the last days. This is one of the saddest things I've ever read. How many want to hear one of the saddest things I've ever read? Okay. And I'm not trying to point fingers, but I'm just trying to have an illustration of what sad state of affairs we are in today. This is from the Christian Post, January 19th. Kenneth Copeland's ministry announced last Friday the acquisition of a debt-free jet, which hit the market with a $36 million price tag. Praise God, he said of his donors. Kenneth Copeland further noted that additional $17 million was necessary to help maintain the new aircraft and urged donors to prepare to give that amount as well. This is the sad part. Oral Roberts used to fly airlines, but even back then it got to the place where it was agitating his spirituality. People coming up to him. He had become famous and them wanting him to pray for them and all that, Copeland explained. You can't manage that today. This dope-filled world and get along in a tube with a bunch of demons. That's so sad. Jesus Christ died for the sinner. Jesus Christ died for me. That's $17 million plus $36 million. Because he didn't want to be in a tube filled with people. Oh, would God, every one of us, to say, we would love to have an opportunity like that to sit next to someone for 2 hours, 3 hours, and have a conversation about Jesus Christ. There is no doubt, if we had a map of time, and it said, you know those things at the Forest Service trailheads, and it's got the big, there were the plexiglass and the little A-frame over the top. We're standing at the little A-frame. The car's running. And we got to get a big hurry. Where are we at now? Latter days, you are here. We're here. And that day is approaching very soon. A missions-minded church sees that the day is approaching as an anticipated event. There are different anticipated events that we can see as a mission-minded church. Number one is, what about death? Death of the believer. If I die, I only have so much time to sacrifice, to serve, to labor for the Lord. I only have so much time to reach others for the cause of Christ. Me, I've only got so much time to carry out the Great Commission, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to give to others. I see that day approaching. I'm 53 years old. That day approaching for me is coming nearer and nearer and nearer. Every one of us as believers should see that day approaching, that event, as our death, and we've only got so much time to serve our Savior. We also, as a missions-minded church, see that day approaching of the death of a sinner without Christ. When was the last time we wept over someone not knowing Christ as Savior? When was the last time we broke down and we asked God, God, please give me an opportunity to reach that individual? We, as a missions-minded church, see that day approaching. Little sheet there, 56 million people die each year. 153, that's 153,000 people each day die. In the United States, it's 2,487 people die a year, 6,815 a day. Just in Montana, there's 1 million people in Montana, 8,290 people die in Montana on the average a day. That's 22 deaths a day in Montana. Look around at your friends and your family in Montana. What is the percentage of your friends and your family, our family, the people we work with, the people we come in contact with, how many of them do we know that are believers in Jesus Christ? Take that percentage and subtract it, and the rest end up in a place called hell because they are without Jesus Christ. Ultimately, in the lake of fire. You know, Bob Seger, he's no rock star. He had it right. I mean, he answered the question. He asked the question, and the question is, who wants to go to Fire Lake? Nobody wants to go to Fire Lake. Nobody wants to go to the lake of fire. Hell is real. Hell is hot. The Bible says, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Three times he says that. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20 says, hell and destruction are never full. Never full. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14 says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. People dying and going to hell every day. 22 a day in just Montana. We, as a missions-minded church, not only see an anticipated event as death for both ourselves and the lost, but the anticipated event of the rapture. If the rapture were to happen today, can you imagine? I've used this illustration before on a Google map, how you hit minus, 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 you go whoop like that. That's how I can imagine that's how the rapture is going to be when we're taken up and out of here, and we're going to be taken up, and our place of departure is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller, and all of a sudden we'll be able to see the streets where we've walked, the businesses where we've been, the houses we've visited, the people we come in contact with, and they're going to be like this, and we're looking at them. At the day approaching, as a missions-minded church, get that in our heads. And I wonder what's going to go through our minds. Oh my goodness, there's Ralph. I was going to give him a tract. There's Thelma. Oh, I was going to visit her. And we get further and further away, and we all these I was going-tos are going to mean nothing. As a missions-minded church this morning, we need to be grateful. Grateful for our salvation. It's too bad we generally set very little value on that which costs us nothing. It might have cost us nothing, but Jesus Christ, it cost Him everything. He paid the price, and He paid the price of our redemption in full. Jesus paid it all. All. To Him I grateful for salvation, grateful for eternal life, grateful for the benefits. Every day, He gives us benefits when we wake up. Peace, hope, joy, future, comfort. Missions-minded church, not only are we grateful this morning, but we should have compassion. Compassion. Just logically thinking, there's not one endeavor or hobby or anything we're involved in that doesn't cost us money. But when it comes to missions, oh my goodness, I can't afford, I can't budget it. But when it comes to all these other things, we find the means. And I guess that's where I am this morning as the pastor of this church. I'm just begging us to seek the Lord's face. Have Him break our hearts. If with a broken heart, I do think that our priorities will change. I do think that finding the means to support missions will change. Not trying to guilt anybody. God doesn't want our money because we feel guilty. God wants to serve Him because we love Him. I guess I'm attempting to appeal to your compassion this morning. Because a missions-minded church has compassion, and a missions-minded church has a sense of urgency. As we see the day approaching. It's coming. It's coming. What are we doing? What have we done? What are we going to do? A missions-minded church understands that day is approaching. Whether the event be rapture, the death of ourselves, or those in Christ, and a missions-minded church realizes we are running out of time. We're going to have an invitation. As we see that day approaching, if you're here this morning and you do not know for certain that you know if you were to die, and the Bible says for His appointed unto man once to die, every one of us is going to die. If you don't know for certain that heaven is your home, you can know this morning someone I will, somebody will show you in the Bible this morning how you can know that you're going to go to heaven when you die. The Bible says these things are written that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you may know you have eternal life. You can know. It's not based on my feeling. It's not based on what I think. It's based on the Word of God. It's a God that cannot lie. For those of us in this missions-minded church, and this is a missions-minded church, I don't mean to point fingers. I hope it didn't come across that way. This church is awesome. Unbelievable how faithful this church is to missions. I'm just trying to encourage, provoke one another to good works, that we continue to be involved with missions and have compassion toward those around the world. Maybe this morning we've cheapened our profession of faith. Maybe this morning we need to come and ask God to forgive us and give us the strength to do what's right and hold fast our profession of faith. 375 this morning. Can know. But I wouldn't trade that for the world. To know Jesus is my Savior. To know that heaven is my home. To know that I'm going to miss hell because of the love of God. God loves you. God loves you. Don't turn your back on His love. Won't you come this morning? Just as I am. Thank you for being here this morning. Aren't you glad that you don't have to be in a church to be saved either? I want you to know this, and God wants you to know this. He loves you, and you can go home. You can be in your car. You can be at your bedside, at the kitchen table. It matters not. You can call upon the name of the Lord Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can be saved. Know that you're a sinner and I need of a Savior. I'm a sinner. Oh, dear God, please save me, and I'm trusting you to forgive me of my sins. You can be saved today, tomorrow, or next week. But the Bible says now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Don't put it off. And you know what? When you call upon the name of the Lord, I will guarantee you this. And I think everyone who has called upon the name of the Lord will guarantee this. We could raise our hands. You will never regret trusting Savior. God's so good. For there are those of us who know Christ as Savior. Oh my goodness, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. We know that that day is approaching. Let us live for Jesus Christ. Let us be what we can be for the cause of Christ. And be ever so thankful with compassion and a sense of urgency. Brother Steve Huseby, would you pray for us?